Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!
Here it is.
For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
$5 trillion added to the national debt to give tax cuts to the wealthiest people in the country.
The One Big Beautiful Bill ushers in the golden age of America, as our great president says, where taxpayers, not illegal immigrants, are put first.
This bill represents the largest cut to health care in American history. It's an all-out assault.
The debate in the House of Representatives over President Trump's budget bill will go to Capitol Hill for the latest. But first, Mahmoud Khalil. In his first live global broadcast, the Palestinian student activist, green card holder, now graduate of Columbia University, jailed by the Trump administration for 104 days, released just 2 weeks ago.
Just the fact that I am here, it's a message. The fact that all these attempts to suppress pro-Palestine voices have failed now. So this is the message. My existence is a message. The Palestinian existence is a message to this administration.
We'll talk with Mahmoud Khalil about his arrest, his jailing, and his life now that he's free. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. On Capitol Hill, Republican leaders appear to have convinced enough far-right holdouts to win passage of President Trump's sweeping package of tax cuts for the wealthy and deep cuts to social programs, including Medicaid and food assistance. At the time of this broadcast, lawmakers are preparing for the final vote after House Speaker Mike Johnson won the support of Republicans who objected to its price tag, which the Congressional Budget Office says will add $3.3 trillion to the national debt over the next decade. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates some 17 million people could lose health insurance over the next decade as well if the bill is approved. We'll go to Capitol Hill for an update later in the broadcast. Officials in Gaza say Israeli attacks have killed over 300 Palestinians in the past 48 hours. Among the dead are at least 11 people killed in an Israeli airstrike on a school housing displaced Palestinians west of Gaza City. Another attack on a tent encampment near Khan Yunis killed 13 people, including a couple and their four children. Meanwhile, a strike on the Indonesian hospital killed renowned cardiologist Marwan al-Sultan. He's at least the 70th healthcare worker killed by Israel in the past 50 days. His daughter, Lubna al-Sultan, said her mother, sister, and aunt were also killed in the strike.
My father is a cardiologist at the Indonesian hospital and the hospital's director. He is neither in any movement nor affiliated with anything. He just cares for the sick, treats them, and comforts them throughout the war. The war must stop. We are hungry. We are scared. We have lost people. I call upon everyone to intensify efforts to stop the war and do whatever they can to calm things down.
Palestinians say at least 33 people have been slaughtered today as they queued for aid at militarized aid distribution sites run by the U.S. and Israel-backed so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. The reportedly unprovoked killings came as the Associated Press published recent video showing U.S. contractors at GHF sites firing live ammunition and stun grenades at starving Palestinians as they scrambled for for food. The AP says it received the footage from two U.S. contractors who wished to remain anonymous in order to blow the whistle on abuses. The contractors report security staffers were often unqualified, unvetted, heavily armed, and seemed to have an open license to do whatever they wished. In this clip published by AP, contractors erupt in cheers as shots ring out.
At that moment, bursts of gunfire erupt close by, at least 15 shots.
This week, 170 charities and aid groups, including Oxfam, Save the Children, and Amnesty International, signed a joint statement calling for an end to the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, citing its blatant disregard for international humanitarian law, unquote. Meanwhile, Hamas says it's studying a ceasefire proposal that President Trump has called a final offer. Israel's Likud party is pressing for the formal annexation of the occupied West Bank, saying it hopes to complete the takeover ahead of a parliamentary recess at the end of July. This comes as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu confirmed he'll visit Washington, D.C. next week to meet with President Trump. This week, the Pentagon approved a $510 million sale of bomb guidance kits to Israel. The sale comes as The Guardian reported Israel used a U.S.-made 500-pound bomb when it attacked a crowded beachfront cafe in Gaza on Monday, killing dozens of Palestinians, including children celebrating a birthday party. Britain's House of Commons has voted to ban the direct action group Palestine Action under the UK's anti-terrorism laws, adding it to a list that includes ISIS and Al-Qaeda. This comes just days after Palestine Action members breached an Air Force base and damaged warplanes to protest Britain's support for Israel's assault on Gaza. Ahead of Wednesday's vote, hundreds of people rallied outside 10 Downing Street to protest what they called an abuse of state power by Prime Minister Keir Starmer and his Labour government.
I mean, we should have freedom of speech and freedom of standing against genocide. How does that make you a terrorist? I will never understand that. And I think it's people in power trying to silence people who are wanting to stand up for what is right.
A UN human rights expert has named 60 companies she says are profiting from Israel's campaign of genocidal violence in Gaza or the expansion of illegal settlements in the West Bank. The report by Special Rapporteur for Palestine, Francesca Albanese, names manufacturers Lockheed Martin and Caterpillar, investment firm BlackRock, and tech giants including Alphabet and Amazon, among others. Meanwhile, hundreds of peace activists rallied in Washington, D.C. this week to protest the annual meeting of Christians United for Israel, one of the largest pro-Israel organizations in the United States. On Monday, activists unfurled banners reading Kufi kills and no God bombs children. On Tuesday, police arrested more than 50 people as they held peaceful protests inside congressional office buildings on Capitol Hill. A federal judge in Washington, D.C., has struck down the Trump administration's efforts to ban asylum protections for migrants crossing through the southern border. In his ruling, Judge Randolph Moss overturned a proclamation issued by Trump on his first day in office that falsely declared an invasion at the U.S.-Mexico border and invoked emergency presidential powers to expel immigrants from the U.S. without due process or allowing them to seek asylum in violation of international and U.S. federal law. ACLU attorney Lee Gelernt, who argued the merits of the case, said in a statement, quote, "This is a hugely important decision. Not only will it save the lives of families fleeing grave danger, it reaffirms that the president cannot ignore the laws Congress has passed and the most basic premise of our country's separation of powers," unquote. This follows reports the Trump administration plans to dismiss the asylum cases of hundreds of thousands of people who entered the U.S. outside a port of entry in order to place them on expedited deportation proceedings. Attorneys representing Kilmer Abrego Garcia say the Maryland father was brutally beaten and tortured during the 3 months he was in prison in El Salvador after the Trump administration wrongfully sent him there in March. The reports of abuse were detailed in court documents filed Wednesday as part of a civil lawsuit against the U.S. government that describe Abrego Garcia was, quote, subjected to severe mistreatment upon arrival at CECOT, including but not limited to severe beating, severe sleep deprivation, inadequate nutrition, and psychological torture, unquote. Kilmer Abrego Garcia's lawyers say he lost 31 pounds during his first 2 weeks of confinement at the CECOT mega prison, and that later he and four others were transferred to a different part of the prison, quote, where they were photographed with mattresses and better food, photos that appeared to be staged to document improved conditions, unquote. Abrego Garcia is currently in federal custody in Nashville, Tennessee. To see our coverage of his case, go to democracynow.org. In more immigration news, Ward Sakik, a 22-year-old Palestinian woman, has been released from a Texas ICE jail after 5 months in custody. She reunited with her husband, who'd been fighting for her freedom. The Trump administration repeatedly attempted to deport her despite a judge's order barring her removal from the U.S. Her family's from Gaza. She was born in Saudi Arabia, which does not grant birthright citizenship to the children of immigrants. Sakik was taken by federal agents in February upon returning from her honeymoon in the U.S. Virgin Islands. In related news, a federal appeals court this week denied the Trump administration's request to rearrest Georgetown University researcher Badar Khan Suri and send him back to an ICE jail while his case proceeds. Dr. Khansouri will remain free with his wife and three children in Virginia after he was released in May. To see our coverage of his case, go to democracynow.org. Another immigrant has died in ICE custody. Isidro Pedrez was a 75-year-old immigrant from Cuba. He'd lived in the United States for nearly 60 years. He was a fisherman who lived on his boat in Miami. He was taken into ICE custody in early June, died less than a month after being jailed at the Chrome Detention Center. His health was fragile as he had previously survived a heart attack and three catheterizations. His cause of death has not been determined, as activists have long decried medical neglect and abuse inside ICE jails. Perez is at least the fifth person to die in ICE custody in Florida this year and the 13th death since the start of the year. Here in New York, hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs is to remain in custody awaiting sentencing after a jury acquitted him of all but two lesser counts in his sex trafficking federal trial. Combs was convicted Wednesday on two prostitution-related charges, but acquitted of the more serious racketeering and sex trafficking charges. The verdict culminated nearly 7 weeks of trial in which two of Combs' former partners testified he brutally, physically, and sexually assaulted them. This is the attorney for Cassie Ventura, whose 2023 civil lawsuit against Combs helped spur a federal investigation.
We're pleased that he's finally been held responsible for two federal crimes, something that he's never faced in his life. He still faces substantial jail time. Of course, we would have liked to have seen a conviction on the sex crimes in RICO, but we understand beyond a reasonable doubt is a high standard, and we're just pleased that that he still faces substantial jail time.
Hotel surveillance footage from 2016, released last year, showed Combs running after Cassie Ventura, violently throwing her on the ground as she tried to escape. He repeatedly kicked her, then dragged her back to their room. Prosecutors accused Combs of repeatedly assaulting several women, drugging and coercing women and men to perform sexual acts, and being part of a criminal organization that engaged in sex trafficking, forced labor, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and other crimes since at least 2008. Combs faces up to 20 years in prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down an 1849 law banning abortion, making the procedure legal and accessible in Wisconsin for the first 20 weeks of pregnancy. The 4-3 ruling by the court's liberal justices comes just 3 months after Elon Musk spent $25 million in an unsuccessful attempt to flip a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat, making it the most expensive judicial election in U.S. history. In a statement, the nonprofit Reproductive Freedom for All wrote, quote, "This victory didn't happen by chance. In 2023, we fought to help elect Judge Janet Protasiewicz, flipping the balance of the court and protecting our reproductive freedom at a critical time. Organizing works, elections matter," they said. A former FBI agent who allegedly encouraged rioters to murder police officers during the January 6th Capitol insurrection has been given a job at the Justice Department. According to a 2023 indictment, the former agent, Jared Wise, repeatedly shouted, "Kill him," at rioters as they battled a police line of officers protecting the Capitol. Wise was on trial in January when President Trump issued sweeping pardons and commutations for over 1,500 January 6 rioters on his first day back in office. The New York Times reports Wise is now serving as counselor to Ed Martin, the director of the so-called Weaponization Working Group, which Trump established to seek retribution against his enemies. This comes after Attorney General Pam Bondi last week fired three more federal prosecutors who worked on January 6 cases. And President Trump says he's struck a trade agreement with Vietnam that'll see U.S. goods enter the country duty-free. In return, the U.S. will apply a 20% tariff on Vietnamese imports, down from the 46% rate Trump announced in April. The reported deal comes just 2 weeks after the Trump administration, or the Trump Organization, broke ground on a $1.5 billion golf course in Vietnam. Meanwhile, Reuters reports Eric Trump recently visited Ho Chi Minh City to explore plans to build a Trump-branded skyscraper. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Officials in Gaza say Israeli attacks have killed over 300 Palestinians over the past 48 hours. One strike on the home of the renowned cardiologist Marwan al-Sultan at Indonesian hospital killed the doctor along with his mother, sister, and aunt. He's at least the 70th healthcare worker killed by Israel in the past 50 days. This comes as Palestinians say at least 33 people were slaughtered today as they lined up for aid at militarized aid distribution sites run by the U.S. and Israeli-backed so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. The reportedly unprovoked killings came as the Associated Press published recent video showing U.S. contractors at GHF sites firing live ammunition and stun grenades at starving Palestinians as they scrambled for food. The AP says it received the footage from two U.S. contractors who wished to remain anonymous in order to blow the whistle on abuses. The contractors report security staffers were often unqualified, vetted, heavily armed, and seemed to have an open license to do whatever they wished. In this clip, published by the AP, contractors erupt in cheers as shots ring out.
At that moment, bursts of gunfire erupt close by. At least 15 shots.
This comes as the Trump administration continues its crackdown on pro-Palestinian demonstrators, especially at universities across the United States. In a moment, we'll be joined by the first pro-Palestinian campus protester to be jailed by the Trump administration, Columbia University graduate and Palestinian student protest leader Mahmoud Khalil. Video shows his arrest on March 8th when he was detained by plainclothes officers who did not identify themselves. The video was filmed by his 8-month pregnant wife, Noor Abdullah, whose voice you're hearing in this clip.
Can you please specify what agency is taking him, please? Excuse me. They're not talking to me. I don't know. Excuse me, the lawyer would like to speak to somebody. Oh my God, they're literally running away from me.
That was March. Mahmoud Khalil has now reunited with his wife and newborn son after he was released on bail less than 2 weeks ago by a federal judge following over 100 days in a Louisiana ICE jail. Khalil spoke outside the jail in Jena, Louisiana, when he was freed.
No one is illegal. No human is illegal. That's the message. The message is justice will prevail, no matter what this administration may try to portray.
In a moment, we'll be joined by Mahmoud Khalil in his first live global broadcast. But first, we go to break. Performing in our Democracy Now! Studio, the band is removing their songs from Spotify to protest CEO Daniel Ek's military investment, saying, "We don't want our music killing people." This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. 2 weeks ago, on Saturday, Democracy Now! Was at Newark Airport when Mahmoud Khalil was reunited with his wife and his son.
I just want to go back and just continue the work that I was already doing, advocating for Palestinian rights, a speech that should actually be celebrated rather than punished, as this administration wants to do.
Mahmoud Khalil was standing next to the New York Congress member Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. On Sunday, the following day, the Palestinian student leader, now graduate of Columbia University, stood next to his wife, Noor Abdullah, and addressed over 1,000 supporters as well as the press on the Upper West Side outside the Cathedral of St. John the Divine here in Manhattan, blocks from his campus of Columbia University.
I would like to salute the courage of all students at Columbia and across the nation. These students who continue to protest. I want to honor especially my friends at Columbia University. Especially those who are currently battling expulsion and suspension for their consciousness stand.
Mahmoud Khalil is a lawful permanent resident, green card holder, who has not been charged with any crimes. Yet he was held in a Jena, Louisiana, ICE jail for 104 days. This all comes amidst growing calls for Israel to be held accountable for alleged war crimes in Gaza, including attacks on hospitals. Mahmoud Khalil joins us now for his first live global broadcast since his release. Mahmoud, welcome to Democracy Now!
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me.
So I want to start with the same question I asked you at the airport. How does it feel to be free?
I mean, absolutely, it goes without saying. It feels it feels good just to be reunited with the family and with my baby son. But at the same time, it feels difficult watching the Palestinian people massacred right now in Gaza. And this really adds more responsibility on me to continue advocating for the rights of the Palestinians. And this is what we should focus on right now, because my freedom is nothing compared to the suffering that the Palestinian people are going through right now in Palestine. And this is what the message should be, that whether it's my arrest, whether the focus right now on immigration is just like a distraction of what's really happening in Palestine, that this administration is investing and funding war crimes in Gaza, that this administration is unconditionally supporting Israel, whether politically or militarily. This is what we should focus on, rather than individual cases, I believe.
Mm. Mahmoud, I'm wondering if you can take us back to March 8th, that day when you were taken by Homeland Security or federal agents. I don't even know at this point, do you know who it is that you were taken by and what happened on that day, where you were?
Yeah. So the Trump administration basically illegally ripped me away from my family because they are simply trying to silence anyone speaking out against Israel, atrocities against the Palestinians. The officers or the agents who kidnapped me did not introduce themselves. They said at first it's police, then DHS, without giving any details, without even presenting an arrest warrant, which is the most basic thing that any law enforcement should do in a country that proclaims like justice and due process, which unfortunately did not happen. So they basically kidnapped me, and for more than 30 hours kept moving me from one place to another, literally moving me more than 1,400 miles.
Can I ask you something? One of the men who abducted you in your Columbia University housing, is it true that he was the Homeland Security agent who was honored by President Trump in his first term in office, Elvin Hernandez?
To be honest, I don't have concrete information about that. It has been only 2 weeks since my release.
And you didn't know at the time. You didn't know at the time who these men were.
I didn't.
So
I didn't at all. To be honest, the story that the government presented was once over, one time over another, changed to sort of serve their part of the story. At the beginning, they said, well, we had an arrest warrant and we arrested Mahmoud outside of Colombia, of his Colombia residence. But then when we presented the video evidence, they said, oh, he tried to flee. So these agents are trained to lie. Are trained to just instigate violence with those who they are seeking to detain.
So we have played over and over the video of your wife, Dr. Noor Abdullah, on the phone with the lawyer, desperately trying to figure out what was happening and where you were being taken. In fact, can you talk about when you had emailed the president of Columbia University, Dr. Armstrong at the time, because you were so concerned about what was happening to you, you wanted some kind of protection?
Yeah. I mean, ICE ICE acts as Trump's militia arm. That's the way that now they are functioning, and we can see this evident not only in my case, and just like cases across the country. The weeks leading up to my arrest, I noticed a more vicious, coordinated smear campaign against me online. The same accounts mentioning Rubio, the White House, mentioning also like just baseless claims about Mahmoud Khalil, who he is, like an international student, a Hamas agent, and all these labels.